So happy to see everybody today. And if you have your Bible, I want to talk to you about something important. I love this particular part of this message. We've been talking about the blood of the new identity, that in Christ, you're a new creation. And when the blood came from the face of Jesus, it tells us that you have a new identity, that they beat his face, they pulled his beard out. In the book of Revelation, it tells us that they... That the Living Bible says that he was so beaten in his face, he was unrecognizable. So the concept is that through his blood that we can suddenly recognize who we really are. We remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they suddenly felt self-conscious. And they were overly conscious with how they looked. And they went and made fig leaves. And God said, who told you to be like that? And that was the result of the fall, was this awful sense of self-consciousness that I must live to please everyone else. I have to look right. I have to be presentable. This idea that I'm going to be rejected because I don't look right or I don't appear right. So this idea of identity is still huge right now in our culture, with people self-identifying as this or that and people not knowing who they are, whether they're a male or a female. And as if we get to decide that, God decides those things. Who we are and what we're to be all comes from who he is. And so the blood of Jesus not only paid for our sins and brings us into heaven, but it gives us something more than even that. It allows us to change this horrible insecurity about who we are. And we can be confident and know who we are in him. And we can live life with this confidence and this security. And we've been talking about it. We learned that Adam and Eve were self-conscious, but when Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must give up yourself, forget yourself, lose touch with yourself. So those that come into Christ give up that insecurity and they come into their new identity. And your new identity is not to be conscious of what other people think. Wouldn't that be great? For some people, they're totally tormented all the time about what other people think. But in Christ, we don't care what anybody else thinks. In this new identity, all you are conscious of is his presence, his purpose, right, and your mission. And suddenly everything else, nothing is about how you're being perceived by everybody else. And our culture is all about this idea of perception, how you look and how other people think about you and taking selfies and all that. And so Jesus came with this blood from his face, and he set us free from having to live tormented and insecure. And so it's huge, because many people, this is where they live. And you came to church because God wants to change that. He don't want you to be worn. He doesn't want you to be worn out anymore, wondering about, do you fit in or what do people think of you? But he wants you to know who you are, know he's with you, and know what you're supposed to do. And live in that consciousness, not in self-consciousness. So I want to talk to you one more week about it, because this is such an important subject. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis 17. And I want to talk to you about changing your name. The new identity, changing your name. Genesis 17, verse 4, it says, as for me, this is God speaking to Abram at the time. Verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And as a result, you shall be the father of many nations. Now listen to this. No longer shall your name be Abram, exalted father is what it means. But your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. For I will make you the father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, let your word come alive in us. Let it change the way we see everything, especially the way we see ourselves. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. This is a powerful concept. The idea that you must come to a point where not only are you a great man or a woman of faith, but you have great faith in who you are. You have great faith in who God made you to be. God has an identity of who you are that's much more awesome than what you think. Because we are constantly being influenced by our own successes or failures or our features or our race or our abilities or our talent. And we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. And in that world, we're shrinking all the time. Who we are, we all constantly are shrinking compared to other people and compared to what we think we ought to be and compared to, you know, where we want to be and how much money we want. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves reduced to saying stuff like, well, you know, whatever God wants, I'll just try to do it. And instead of being an active, purpose-driven individual, we become these people who are just beleaguered by the constant onslaught of who we are not. And the blood of Jesus fixes it. Now, here is Abraham. Now, Abram, it was his name. Now, his name, Abram, means exalted father. How many of you know he doesn't have any kids yet? Now, if you read the first verse, you find out that he's 99 years old and still doesn't have any kids. It says when he was 99, the Lord appeared to him. I'm sure he's thinking, now, back in chapter 12, God already tells him, I'm going to make you a great nation. Out of you is going to come a great multitude. Of course, that would be Israel. Right now, there is no nation of Israel. There's just Abraham. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, she can't have a baby. And in that time, it's a huge scene when your wife can't have a baby because it's like you're not blessed. Like you don't have the blessing on your life. And so here it is, right? He's humiliated already. He's calling himself father. Everybody, when they call, you know, I'm like, hey, Paul, they're actually saying, hey, big daddy. And he's like, but he don't have any kids, but everybody calls him big daddy. Exalted father is big daddy in the Greek. And they're like saying, hey, man, hey, big daddy. He's like, you know, you don't really have any kids. He's already living this kind of a contradiction where his name, his identity is based on the promise that he's going to be a father. But he's now 100. He's 99. Doesn't have any kids. You ever look at yourself in the mirror when you get older? You're like, man, I'm glad kids are out of my house because I don't think I'd have another one. Right? Because, and then he's looking at his wife and she's old too. And he's like, look, I don't think this is going to happen. Have you ever been waiting for the promise of God, and if you're not careful, disappointment starts to creep on you because years start, you're like, there's not enough time for this to happen now, right? Because you start looking at how old you are, and you start looking at where you are in life, and you're like, you know what? I used to believe God for great things, but my time is running out. And now Abraham, God himself has told him, you're going to be a great nation, and his wife just won't get pregnant, and he's dealing with monthly disappointment. He's asking her every month, like, anything? Nope. Eventually, he stops asking her. He's 99. This started when he was 75. He's got 20-something years of disappointment being called Abram. And God appears to him and says, okay, great news. And Abraham's like, okay, finally, something clear. I'm going to get out of my confusion. I'm going to get out of my embarrassment. I'm going to get out of my disappointment. And God's going to bring me the great answer. So God meets with him and says, you're going to be a great nation. He's like, yes, yes. So when? He said, first thing, you got to stop calling yourself exalted father, and you need to take that up a notch. You're going to start calling yourself father of multitudes. Tell all your friends, put it on your stationery, put it on your new card. No longer call me father, start calling me father of nations. It's almost a joke. Like, excuse me? Like, I waited for 99 years to hear that my real problem is I'm calling myself too small. I don't even have a baby. That's embarrassing. Now I have to tell everybody I'm the father of a multitude. Do you understand when God gives you a promise and your life doesn't match? When God, you keep reading what God promised you and your finances look nothing like that. And time is passing and you're believing God and disappointments are more real than what God said to you. Your reality starts contradicting everything God promised you. And you're trying to cope with it. And then God visits you one day and says, look, your big problem is your faith ain't big enough in who you are. Now, you got to let it sink in because this is not religious. This confronts you on the real level of, have you given up in life? Or are you still in this walk of great faith?
Are you still courageously conquering, or have you passed it on and said, you know, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to exist. I'm just going to survive. Or are you pressing into the promises of God? Because God, listen, it doesn't appear that God is making it easy for Abraham. Are y'all with me? It doesn't appear that God is making this thing. God is testing him because, listen, what I've found about marriage, if you're looking for a way out of your marriage, you're going to find one. You'll find a good reason. If you're looking for a reason to quit on God, you're going to find one. If you're looking for a reason to give up on faith, on the dream of God for your life, God's going to give you one, and you'll feel sorry for yourself. Poor me. You know, God, I wish God would have. If you're a quitter, you're going to quit. God will make sure the circumstances are there to expose to you. You know what? You say you're a great person of faith, but we're going to find out if you have faith or not, because life is going to make you want to quit every day. We're going to find out if this is real or if it's just everybody clapping their hands and saying hallelujah, because you've got to live when the doctor says, hey, I think you might have cancer. Or when you know your kids are not behaving the way you want them to behave, or when things don't work out business-wise the way you thought and you've been struggling so long. We're going to find out if this is just church or if it's real for you. And God says, Abraham, let me just give you the secret to your conquest. You are thinking way too small. Are you waiting for me to show up? Your problem is not me showing up. Your problem is you think too small about yourself. That is not the answer Abraham wanted from this visitation. Like, hey, man, you got to take it up a notch, bro. You thinking father, I'm thinking father of multitudes. You're thinking paying your bills, I'm thinking paying off all your bills. You're thinking just staying married. I'm thinking about you having a marriage that's an example to everybody you know. You're thinking about your kids just graduating college. I'm thinking about your kids changing the world. It's one thing to say you have faith in God, but it's another thing to say you have faith in what God says about you. See, all the religious people, oh, I just believe God is awesome. God is awesome. God is great. Come on, let's just sing it. God is great. God is awesome. And it's easy to be religious and sing about how great, because he is awesome. Big whoop that you think that. You can look at a spider and see God's awesome. Did you see my finger was ripped wide open? It's just like a supernatural superhero. It grew back together. It was ripped by a saw. Y'all saw it? And it just, look, it's just, you can't even see where it was now. That's how awesome God is. My body fixes itself. When was the last time your car fixed itself? Never. But your body just like, oh, there's a problem on left thumb over there. Let's get some people over there. And like a few weeks later, bam, it's done. Look, everything about God is super awesome. You didn't do anything when you said God was awesome. It's good that you said it. But it doesn't take a lot of faith to say God's awesome. Just walk outside and look at some grass. Look at the trees and you know God's awesome. But to believe that God's awesome in you, this is something else. You just went from religion to a relationship. You can be religious and say God's awesome, but you got to have a relationship to say God is awesome in me. Look at somebody and say God is awesome in me. Just try it out. Let's just practice for a second. Say God is awesome. Just put the preacher on and say, God is awesome. Say God can do anything. Say God is mighty. See, that feels right because everybody knows it has nothing to do with something about you. This is just telling him how awesome he is. Now say, God is awesome in me. God can do anything through me. Nothing is impossible through me. Now we're going from religion to a relationship, because nobody's changing your life but you. Nobody's going to change your circle. God changes you and you change your world. Something about you has to change. And so it's one thing to say, I'm believing God for a new car. I'm believing God for a new house. I'm believing God for a healing. That kind of faith, it's great. Nothing wrong with it. It's great. But all of those wonderful things, they come from a source, not just faith. Faith in what God says about you. What do you believe about what is your name? See, if we knew everybody's real name here, many people are going to say, well, my name's loser. My name's quitter. My name is discouraged. My name is rejected. If you knew what people looked in the mirror and called themselves, if these people come to church, if you look, it would break your heart to know sometimes what your own children think about themselves. You know, I have children, and they're beautiful. And I have to correct them, you know, from time to time. But I never want them to believe that they're not great, because it's God's heart in me to say, don't you ever think less of yourself than who you are. You might make it a mistake or two. You might blow it, but it's never going to change what's inside of you. You are awesome because God says you're awesome. Life and circumstances may have called you a loser, limited. I'm not talented. I'm not beautiful. Life might have told you you are rejected. Life might have told you you're a failure. Your circumstances, your finances, your situation is constantly trying to name you. But God requires you to call yourself what He calls you. He's not just asking you to do it. He's requiring it. He said, you want to come into this thing? You have to stop calling yourself a loser. God's awesome, but I'm a loser. That's religion. That's not holy. I'm so holy. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. God is everything. That's just religion. That's how religious people talk. They say, God is great. I'm a zero. Well, that's not what Jesus came to show us. Jesus came to show us that God is awesome in you. God is awesome in you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus said, the kingdom is in you. So stop talking like, I'm a nobody, I can't do it, really, it's just, I'm weak, I'm so weak. Stop it. You're not going to operate with God until you come into great faith. What kind of great? Great faith in who you are. I'm hollering at y'all today, because it's true. Until you come into great faith of who you are, you're not in the game yet. You'll be 99, still don't have a baby. Well, I'm doing my best. Your best ain't going to get it done. It's not about doing your best. It's believing His best in you. You got to believe stuff about yourself that nothing around you tells you it's true. Nothing about how you're acting. Nothing about what you're experiencing. Nothing about your track record says anything about what this promise is. And you still have to believe it. You've got to look your circumstances, the obvious reality, in the face and defy it and say, this is the way it looks, but this is what God says, and I am who God says. You ought to give God a shout if you believe it. You must courageously contradict your present reality in order to embrace your promised future. I'm going to say it again. You must courageously contradict your present reality in order to embrace your promised future. Well, I'm just trying to be real. You working with the wrong God if you're trying to be real. Because He believes things about you. He's totally unrealistic about you. Come on, if you're happy about that, just wait. He is not being, if He was realistic about you, He'd have quit a long time ago. He's not being realistic about you. He sees things that are just, for some of you, it's unimaginable. Some of you think you can't even walk for God. God says, you're a pastor. You're like, a pastor? I can't even go one day serving God. How am I going to be a pastor? God said, well, hey, you got to start believing what I believe. Because I'm way ahead of you, man. If you're going to work with me, you got to come up here. I'm not going to talk about your past and your situation and your circumstances and what you've been through and how you've hurt and who hurt you. I'm not interested in all that. I'm interested in what we're about to be, what we're about to accomplish, what we're about to conquer. I got no interest in your past. I got no interest in your weakness. I'm interested in who you're going to be. Preach it, Pastor Bray. You can preach this every Sunday. Look, I'm not talking about be selfish. I'm talking about be who God called you to be. And stop accepting much less than what you are. Some of you have a blinder over your eyes. You don't understand. It's sunshine. You still think it's raining. You still think you got a bad, and everything is great. God's about to do something awesome. You're still expecting something terrible. Point one,
Write it down. To receive the awesome promise, you must first receive your awesome identity. Now get it, get that. To receive the awesome promise, you must first receive your awesome identity. If you don't believe who you are, you're not going to get something great. You're not going to get the awesome promise until you believe the awesome identity that what God says about you. As long as you're looking in the mirror and saying, I'm that limited, weak person, as long as you're saying that, you're not going to get the awesome promise because you don't believe it. So you have to believe what God says about you. Well, I just can't. That's a lie. I'm just too weak. That's a lie too. Try as hard as I can, but I just can't do it. That's a lie, 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 lie. You got to start believing what God says about you. I just think it's wonderful. We have faith in God, but God has a lot more faith in us. It's easy to see, yeah, God is awesome. But look, it's something to look at you and say, you're awesome. And me, and say, and God looks at us and say, me, I'm awesome? Let me tell you how awesome I am. You're awesome. You're like, I know, I'm a weenie, I'm terrible, I'm just terrible, I'm just a jerk, I'm just a low life. And what God said, that's a lie right there. You are what I say you are. You're a child, you're an heir of God and a joint heir in Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ. Never believe the lie of the enemy telling you you're less than who you really are. Dare, like the politicians say, dare to dream. They must have got it from the Bible. You got to dare to dream what God is dreaming about you, his child. Because God doesn't see you through the weaknesses and through the failures, through your sicknesses and through your struggles. God doesn't see all those things. God sees you how you're going to be. God sees you glorious. God sees you victorious. God sees you overcoming. And you have to enter into God's dream. Abraham, come up to the next level. Next level, write it down. Next level living requires next level faith in who you are. We can stop right there and say, go home. Just think about that. Next level living requires next level faith in who you are. Look in the mirror and say, you know what? You're God's man. Look in the mirror and say, you're a soul winner. Look in the mirror and say, you're a world changer. Some people can't say it because they feel so dishonest. I'm not. I just have to be realistic. If you want to be realistic, you got the wrong God. He's not being realistic about you. He's in faith. And he is the force of faith in you. And he's saying, you can do it. You can conquer it. You can be it. You can do it. You can overcome it. You can. All the things that knocked you down all those times before, you're going to conquer it because I say you can. Matter of fact, it's who you are. God calls Abraham his promise. He said, you are a promise, father of multitudes. I'm just going to name you by the promise. I'm going to call you the promise. When I call you, that's how much I believe in you. I'm going to call you the promise, unlimited. He already had a great name of faith, Abram. And God said, that's way too limited. And I suspect people in here, you're way too limited in what you believe that God can do through your life. I believe to the person, most of you have no earthly idea. You're so shooting so low, you have no idea what God has planned for your life. And until you believe what God says about you, stop saying you're stupid, you're not smart, you're not funny, people don't like you, you're fat, you're ugly. As long as you keep saying that demonic garbage to yourself, you'll always be quitting and you'll always be sabotaging yourself. Every good thing in your life, you'll always be ruining it. Because you keep saying the wrong thing to yourself. Look at somebody say, today it stops. I love one version that God tells Abraham, you will no longer call yourself Abram. I love that. Don't you? You will no longer call yourself limited. But you will call yourself unlimited. You want to play with me? You want to work with me? You're going to work in the way I work. I work on pure. Your whole life goofed up? Okay. Perfect. God took nothing and made everything out of it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God took nothing. It was without form and void and made everything out of it. God specializes in working with nothing. And most of us, the moment we realize we're nothing, that's when we get saved.
we're just a conch of clay. We realize we're nothing. We say, okay, I surrender. And then we surrender ourselves to this God who can make something out of nothing. And he's awesome. And you just have to come into this great faith of who he says you are. In order to experience all that God has for you, you must ignore your obvious limitations. You must embrace God's outrageous faith. I'm just going to stop and let that soak in. No, I'm going to say it again. In order to experience all that God has for you, you must ignore your obvious limitations and embrace God's outrageous faith in you.
Brother, I don't have faith in people. I just have faith in the Lord.
Religious.
I don't have faith in people. I just got faith in God.
That's all bull and religious. God works through people. And God is changing you, and you are changing your world. This is not, oh, let's all cheer for God. I want to cheer for God, too, but I want to cheer for God and you. You're the one that's about to change your world. God's about to use somebody like you. God's about to change something about you. God's about to transform something about you. And look, I love the song, All I Did Was Worship. That is true, in a sense. All I did was worship. But I tell you what, there's a whole lot of change that goes on in worship. Because God has to change you so he can change your world. We are not passively religious people hoping that God's going to do something. God said, no, no, no. I'm doing something in you, and you're going to do something about this mess. Are y'all with me today still? Have you ever had a busy, busy, busy time, and you didn't notice that your whole house is a wreck? Like, you're looking in your closet, and when you're so busy, you're like, it's bad, but it ain't that bad. And then you, like, get a couple of days rest, and you're back to yourself, and then you look at your closet, and you say, OMG. And you say, like, I was living like a pig. What is this? Who lives here? And there's, like, you know, Diet Coke cans and, you know, empty bags of Cheetos. And you're like, who lives here? You're like, it was me. And I was in that thinking this was my life. And I just needed a nap. And when I took a nap, I came back to myself. And you start cleaning things. That's how God works. God's going to give you a Holy Spirit nap where he rests up your spirit. You're going to look at your life and you're going to say, let's clean this mess up. Let's get this changed. Let's move that. Let's do this. And pretty soon, you're going to be something you never thought you could be. But some people just yield to the mess. You ever just yield to the mess? People who have swimming pools, you've been to their house, like, oh, they yielded to the mess. It's like green animals are growing, like I believe a monkey came up out of there. I thought it was a monkey. You know, are some people's refrigerators? Come on, somebody. You yielded to the mess. You should. That mustard's been there for like 4 years. It's been there. And you know you ain't never going to eat it. I might eat it one day. No, you're never going to eat that stuff. You got leftovers from last Thanksgiving in that bad boy. You just yielded to the mess. You know what? You got to assume the attitude. Like, that refrigerator is going down. You know, your wife ever gets that attitude? Everybody's got to play when she gets the attitude. Like, oh, that refrigerator is going down. Suddenly stuff is flying out of there. Rags are squirting in it. And you're like, this is going, I don't think she can do it. And then like an hour later, that thing looks like the showroom floor. You're like, dang. When people get tired of their mess, they clean it up. When people have some courage and say, I'm better than this refrigerator. I'm better than that backyard. I'm better than this messy pool. I'm better than the life I'm living. When you start to say, I'm better than what I'm living, you'll start cleaning it all up and everything will begin to change. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. Look at somebody say, God is greater than me. Point number two, I've got to quit because it's not that I'm super enjoying this, but the truth is I know that this is where you live. And you are God's best. If we can't do it, nobody can. It can't be done. If you can't do it, if you can't conquer, then nobody can. We are the hope of this generation. We are the hope for revival for the next generation. We're the hope of America, you and I. And you might not feel like something, but God believes in you. Number two, in order to embrace your new name, you must renounce your old name. You still trying to hold on to Abram? You'll never be Abraham. Well, look, I'd just be satisfied just to be Abram. God said, No, no, no. You got to renounce calling yourself things
that you shouldn't call yourself. It starts that way. It starts that way. One of the great name changes in the Bible is a man, a zealot for God named Saul. And he's so zealot for God, he's persecuting and killing Christians. And on his record, his track record, one of the people was stoned as little precious Stephen. They said his face looked like an angel when they were stoning him to death. And Saul was there giving consent to the death of Stephen. And he had this on his conscience. Some of you have made some horrible mistakes, but did you ever kill Christians? Well, he had a conscience that could have changed him. It could have changed him. He said, you know what, for the rest of my life, God can never use me because I killed Christians. He had these faces of these precious people that he threw in jail and that he had murdered and that he had persecuted. And not just one, not just 10, but hundreds. He could remember their faces and he could remember dragging them out of their house and dragging them out of their prayer group and dragging them out of their little sanctuaries. He remembered dragging them into the street, and it was in his mind that he had taken their lives and taken their freedom. And how could he forgive himself for that? Saul, Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus and knocks him off his horse and says, stop doing what you're doing. And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. And from that day on, Paul had to say, you know what? I'm going to have to change my name. I'm no longer Saul, I'm Paul. Because even though I did terrible things, God wants me to do great things for him. Even though I've done horrible things, God still wants me to do great things for him. The things I did, as bad as they were, that was the old me. That was Paul. That was Saul. I'm becoming Paul. Now listen, you got to deal with it. You got to have a funeral and say, who I was no longer exists. That was then, this is now. And some people, you try to keep them both alive. Critical, weak, all those things that you want to keep that alive and you want to have the new. And you can't remember which one you are. Are you Jacob or are you Israel? Are you Saul or all your Paul? You have to renounce. Those pictures of who you used to be and this habit that you have of saying you're so stupid and you're so weak and you can't do it. All of that, if you want the new name, you have to renounce the old name. It's so much easier to go back to your old name. It's so much more comfortable. It's like an old pair of jeans. It fits too good. You're so used to it. Like, man, why try to change? I can just be the idiot I used to be. I thought I was unhappy, but you know what? It wasn't all that bad. And we swerve to rot. We swerve back to the place that's easy for us. And that old name is an easy name to go back to. Are you with me still? Paul had to say, I am what I am, not because of what I've done, but because of what he says. I am who God says I am. And he begins from this encounter with Jesus to begin to go through this transformation. Listen. Today, you have to renounce this religious thing of, I'm not perfect, bro, and I'm not worthy. Only God's worthy. All of that's religion. Hear somebody say, I'm not perfect. They've surrendered to failure. I'm not perfect. Nobody's all that right there. You're not saying who you are. You're trying to make excuses for who you are. Well, I'm not perfect. You know, stop it. Stop it, because you're compensating because you surrendered inside. Something in you said, well, I can't do it, and you surrendered. And instead of embracing God's great dream for who you are, you're dialing it down and say, I can't expect much out of me. Don't expect much. God's great, but I'm nothing. All of that is religion. I'm not worthy. All of that, religion. That's what the Pharisees bring you. Jesus doesn't bring you the I'm not worthy. Jesus is the one who looks at the woman that caught in adultery and say, listen, get up. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Let's be awesome for God. Let's conquer this thing. Forget about your past. And let's move into your future. Are you with me? The I'm a worm, false humility. This is religion. You got to renounce. If you want to come into the new, you got to renounce how comfortable it was to just feel so sorry for yourself that you've got problems. I've got problems. Stop it. You're awesome. God says you're awesome. God says you're a conqueror. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. God says you can conquer. But look where I was born. Look where I'm doing. Look at this. Stop it.
Stop making excuses for failure and start conquering. Listen, surrender and survival are the marks of the fall.
I'm just going to survive, bro.
Survivor, I like that song, you know, I Will Survive. I should have lost that stupid key, whatever. People are singing that song, I Will Survive, because they go into survival mode in life. Survival mode is the sound of Adam. I'm just surviving. God is not interested in you surviving. God is interested in you conquering. God is interested in your victory. You got to get in touch with something inside of you that says, I'm not a survivor, I'm an overcomer. I'm not someone who's going to show up to the end. I'm someone that's going to overcome to the end. I am who God says I am. Failures tempt us to default into survival mode, but survival is the mindset of the curse. Victory is the mindset of the blessing. Look at somebody, touch them on the shoulder, say, you got the victory inside of you somewhere. You're not just a pretty good, I'm just trying to be a good person. You're a lot better than a good person. Yes, I'm hollering at you, but I'm hollering at you a good holler. You're a lot better. I'm nothing but a good. You're a lot better than a good person. You're made in God's image and His likeness, and nothing is impossible to you. And you've not experienced yet what you're going to be. Today, you have to renounce the victim mentality, the failure mentality, the feeling that you can't do it. You've got to renounce it before God and say, I'm done with feeling sorry for myself. I'm done with making excuses for my weakness, and I'm moving into God's dream. Whether I see it right now or not, I've made up my mind. I'm going to say about myself what God says about me. No, you ought to shout a little bit if you believe it. Survival mentality is the enemy, and victory is your normal. Survival, this is the sound of the enemy. Victory is your normal. This is what God planned for you. Well, look what I've been through. Look, that doesn't determine what you believe. I'm finishing with this. We were going to have communion, but we're not going to have time because I'm just going to preach to you. I'm going to pray for you. Number three, you must continually confess who you are in total faith. You must continually confess who you are in total faith. Pastor Ray, I don't like when I make those confessions about, you know, I'm great and God's going to do this and all that. I feel so dishonest. Hold up. Changing your name is an awkward thing. I don't know if you've ever done it. You probably never did, but I keep trying to get my grandkids to call me G-Daddy instead of Pawpaw. Because I thought G-Daddy sounds a lot cooler. I've even tried to bribe them with money. Said, look, $10 for two G-Daddies. They're like, no, man. You're Pawpaw, and that's what you're going to be. And some of us, our old identity is just stuck on us. Right? Like when you get gas on your hand at the you get back in your car and you nothing you can do to get that gas off of you. The more you try to wipe it off, the more you smell gas. Some people, they don't want to let go of it. But you have to continually confess. Listen, every time you make a new confession, it's supposed to feel awkward. It's like this is, when you have a new name and you start calling yourself your new name, it's going to feel weird because it doesn't fit. It's like a new pair of shoes. You're like, I'm on my old jeans. I'm so used to saying all the time, I can't. I don't like saying I can because it's awkward. Listen, the way to change is to face the awkward moment and say, I'm going to say it till it's not awkward. I'm going to say it till I believe it. And I'm going to say it, then all the people around me are going to believe it. Paul's name was Saul of Tarsus his whole life. God called him Paul the Apostle. And he had to grapple with all the mistakes he had made. And all the memories and how easy it would be to disqualify himself. But he said, you know what? I'm going to keep saying this name. I'm going to keep saying who I am over and over. Say it with me. Say over and over. Don't go home from this sermon and say it one time. God says I'm a conqueror. That doesn't feel right. Okay, I quit. You got to say it over. Changing your name means you change it. Oh, you change it. You say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then you start saying, now I want y'all to start calling me that. People will start calling you what you call yourself. Don't call me that. I used to be Bray.
Now I'm whatever, Fabio. You know how many times you had to correct people? If I want to change my name to Fabio, they're like, come on, man, you Bray. No, no, I'm Fabio. God said I'm Fabio. Look at this hair. You know, and the temptation would be like, just go ahead and call yourself Bray, because everybody's going to keep calling you Fabio forever. Excuse me, opposite, you know what I'm saying. Everybody's going to keep calling you Bray. Why don't you just give up? It is hard to change your name. Because you want to go back to the comfortable old name of being defeated and feel sorry for yourself and saying, I can't, God's awesome, but I'm not. This is your habit. You got to get a new habit. I don't have any time, but I looked through all the beginning of all the books that Paul wrote, and they all start this way. They don't start Saul. They start Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. 1 Corinthians, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul, an apostle not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and the God of the Father who raised him from the dead. Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Philippians, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He goes on and he said, look, every time you see me, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm not Saul of Tarsus. I'm Paul the apostle. Every time you see me, you're going to start calling me what I call myself, because I'm going to call myself what Jesus calls me. Okay, I'm finishing. I think it's storming. Y'all can't go anyway. You know, it would dry up right now. Right when I need you to stay, it would dry up. A name is a constant confession of your identity that you embrace and requires, and you require others to embrace. Let me say it again. A name is a constant confession of identity that you embrace and that you require others to embrace. We don't call ourselves Oak Tree. We call ourselves Harvest because that's who we are. Harvest World Outreach, I wear the t-shirt, I got the bumper sticker, I'm all in. Don't call me, somebody say, oh, you're the pastor of Oak Trees. Nope, don't call me that, bro. Call me the pastor of Harvest, because that's who I am. And you have to take your new identity and make it a name. Your new reality will be determined by your new confession. Write it down. Your new reality will be determined by your new confession. You got to say it until everybody believes it. You have to believe it. Your new reality will be determined by your new confession. Your new reality will be determined by your new confession. This is who I am. This is who I am. You will not be defined by others. You will not be defined by your past. You will not be defined by your circumstance. You will not be defined by your weakness. You will not be reduced to your achievements or your lack of them. You will be empowered by God's calling, God's word, and God's faith in you. Now we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Come on, stand up with me. You will never be a failure because Jesus is inside of you. Listen, you will never be limited because Jesus is inside of you. And if you want the new, you've got to surrender the old. You see, on this rainy day, you could have slept in bed like lots of people. But God said, you need to get up because you need to hear this. How many of you go ahead and admit it? Say, you know what? I need. Wave your hand and say, I needed to hear this today. Okay, but well, God knew, because you could easily be just laid in bed, right? So if you don't mind, just lift your hands, because you're going to let go of that old identity. Right now, say, I renounce the thinking of failure and the thinking of defeat. I renounce surrendering to my circumstance and yielding to the suggestion of all that's happened to me and all that hasn't happened. I will not yield. Today, I renounce the version of the devil of my life. Today, I put it under my feet. I am who God says I am. I am a child of God. I am more than a conqueror. I'm his beloved. I am who he says I am. I receive it. I'm unlimited. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm not who I was. I'm who God says I am. I renounce the lies of the enemy and the limits on my future. I will not accept who he says I am. I accept God's dream. Come on, now just lift your hands. I receive God's dream. I accept God's name on my life. I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an uncompromising overcomer. Listen, changing your life begins with changing your name. And changing your name is how you change the world. One more time, just lift your hand one more time. Father, in Jesus' name, let the glory of what you say, of what you believe, be the confession of my mouth. I will never again call myself limited. I will never again call myself a failure. I will never again accept that I can't conquer. I renounce it. I renounce every lie. And I receive Holy Spirit strength inside of me. I declare I am becoming what I say. I'm saying what you say. And I declare I am what you say. I am becoming what you say. Even if it takes a while, I've made my mind up. I shake off the limitations and I receive the dream of God. All across the room, before we leave, if you never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, or maybe you've been far away from God and you just haven't received his life. And you're saying, Pastor Bray, I just want to receive Jesus. I want that new identity. I want to become a new creation. Just before we go, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, just under your breath, say it for real. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent for all the bad choices I've made. I believe when you shed your blood and you hung on the cross, you did it for me. I receive forgiveness for leaving you out of my life and for putting myself first. I receive forgiveness. In this moment, I receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I will never be the same. With my mouth, I confess my faith. As of this day, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And I declare I'll never be the same. I receive the Holy Spirit. I receive your strength. I receive your life. And I declare that in my life, old things have passed away and everything has become new. Come on, one more time. Could everybody just one more time just lift your hand and say, Jesus Christ, you're the Lord of my life. You give me my name. You say who I am. And I believe it. I receive it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray that you would seal your people with the Holy Spirit. these that you determined would be here in this rain today, those that made the effort, that stepped out in faith, that said, I need to be there. Lord, seal them. Let the work that you started in them finish it, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, can you give the Lord a shout, everybody? God bless you. Have a great day.